So there's this part in the Fantastic Mr. Fox where Foxy gives a toast to all the animals around him about how he can thank the farmers that are trying to kill him for one thing.
I guess we do have these three ugly farmers to thank for one thing, reminding us to be thankful and aware of each other. I'm gonna say it again, aware.
Now, I've already had much to drink, but I'm gonna
But I'm gonna say something anyway, which nobody wants to admit, but I think is probably true.
We beat them.
We beat those farmers, and now we're triumphantly eating their roasted chicken, their sizzling duck, their succulent turkey, their foie gras,
their succulent squab, their... Wait, boys.
Where?
Ash?
Boys?
Christofferson!
Listen to me. I just had a brainstorm for something fantastic I've got to do, but I can't do it alone.
I'm not interested.
Hear me out.
No thanks. I think foxes from your side of the family take unnecessary risks.
Only because they got the guts in their blood. And so do we.
Hey, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are the Parsons.
6 months ago, we asked ourselves, what would it be like to take an entire year off of social media?
And this is the boredom experiment. So a few months into the boredom experiment, we found ourselves asking a lot of big questions of our behavior, issues of the heart, and we asked a lot of those questions in community. So we'd have conversations with friends along the way about what's going on underneath the surface. Turning off social media was a good way for us to explore some of those issues. And our friend Alec was one of those people. Alec is a dear friend. He's a great photographer. And he came over for dinner one night a couple months back. And so while we cooked dinner in our kitchen, just hit record on the iPhone and asked him to tell us a couple of stories. And we thought that they'd be pretty enlightening for you.
This is one of those stories.
So, I know this old couple, and I asked one of my mentors, who I knew had their contact information, for it. So I called them up and said, "Hey, this is Alec. I've met you a number of times at church before, and I was wondering if you would be okay with letting me come into your home and hear some of your story and photograph you." And it kind of took her a second to think about it, and then she said, "Okay, hold on, let me ask my husband." And so she came back on and said, "Sure." And so I came to their home, and it was right around lunchtime, and so we all had lunch together and sat and talked for probably, I'd say, 2.5 hours. We just sat and shared stories, mostly him talking. He was the talker. And the war veteran, and both in their mid-80s. And I have my little digital audio recorder there, so they knew I was like recording what they were saying. And then I asked them if I could photograph them at the end. And they said, "Sure." So I hung out with them a little bit longer and photographed them sitting in their living room in their prize rocking chairs that had been given to them by the University of Michigan, where they had both worked for like 30 years.
No way.
And then I left. And I was sitting in my house. I probably spent an hour, I spent a couple hours like re-listening to all the audio and typing out like a good form of a consolidated story that I could share with the world about these people, and edited the photograph and had it all ready, and I was like, you know, I better call them and make sure that they're okay with me sharing this, because I had not thought about
sharing it where?
On social media. So I called them and said, would you mind if I share this on Facebook? Because I figured Facebook would be the only resonator of like something that they understood within the social media realm. I was looking like trying to say Instagram or something. So she was like, well, let me talk to my husband again. Hold on just a sec. And so like I like had figured, since I had been sitting there the whole time with this tape recorder and like asking to take the photo, that it would be a yes situation. But she came back on and she said, you know what, we would rather you not do that. And so I said, okay, that's completely fine. Just wanted to make sure. Great hanging out with you guys. And like they had even said, like at the end of our conversation, like, please come back and see us again. Mm-hmm. And so then I sat there, and I don't know if it was a similar emotion to the nursing home story or not, but just of like, oh man, now there's nothing in this for me to be sensationalized by, yeah, and be appreciated for, of like, hey, everyone out there, look at what I just accomplished by putting myself out there in somebody else's world and quote unquote working / loving them, just like they talked about in the sermon this morning. Like, was I really doing that work for the purpose of showing the love of Christ?
Right.
Was it all very much my own selfish gain?
Right.
So it became this like, all right, this thing that I've been doing, which I would call sharing life, is much more it's very much just as much for me, as he was talking about this morning. It's just as much for me to be like, okay,
yeah,
I'm in this for much larger and better reasons than the Instagram square and the Facebook like.
Talking to Alec and listening to his story made us realize right away, we did that. We have done that for years. We have taken social media and used it to be sensationalist. And we would never want to admit to that, except looking back, now that we don't have it, it felt so true. Whether it was places we were traveling, I think that we were starting to look for beautiful things to Instagram and to share, and almost a little bit to rub in other people's faces, right?
Definitely.
We were sensationalizing even the bad things, like the laundry pile, or hand washing dirty dishes for hours, or sick days. And I think that we told ourselves that if we share more, if we look more sensational, we'll get more business, we'll have more friends, our friends will be able to keep up with us better and take better care of us. And I guess sitting here on the other side of 6 months, that just wasn't true.
What he feels, keeps a letter in the pocket of his coat, but he never breaks a seal.
We've had a lot of people ask us a lot of the same questions, because it turns out dropping off of social media for a year is pretty countercultural, and so far we haven't met anyone else who's doing it. So we thought it would be really fun to just talk through some of the frequently asked questions and some of the things, honestly, that we have become aware of. My love?
Yes?
In the past 6 months, since we have been off of social media, has our business suffered?
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, we used to have a laziness that sort of embodied everything that we did before we got off of social media. But getting off of social media has meant that we engage with our couples quicker. in more genuine, authentic ways. We hustle more for the work that we are blessed to get. And it gives us time to develop business strategies for the future, something that we've never really done in the past. So pretty exciting stuff.
I totally agree. And I think that I can add, without looking at social media all day, every day, every single shoot that I go out to each week, I have something to give them from my own perspective, and I have nothing else in the back of my mind, no one to impress, and nothing to prove, so we can just create from who we are now more organically.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And the lack of anxiety that we have going into different work, because we have nobody to impress, nothing to prove, it's just an amazing, freeing feeling.
I seen him play on some old cheap guitar, but he could play on pots and pans. It never heard a soul so pure and true, it was flowing right out of his hand.
Have our friendships suffered?
Absolutely not. I mean, a good example, when you were in the hospital 6 weeks ago, and before, I guess we used to think, gosh, we need to get the word out so that people can know that you're in the hospital or whatever. No, your friends already knew. They visited you. They brought you movies and meals and took care of our family, and we're still living off of some of that food. So friendship actually has deepened in light of us getting off of social media. So we may not know that your daughter played in the backyard today and you got a great photo with some sun flare. What we do know is that we're sharing life with you. Mm-hmm. I think that that's where friendship has really deepened and been fleshed out more. It's grown.
Yeah. I think that our table and our front porch have never been so frequently filled by people that we love and who love us. And I think that even us getting off of social media has led to us asking old-timey questions about their family, about what they're caring about these days and how they're living their lives, instead of just assuming we know them already because we saw their posts.
That's right.
I seen him calling up the angels and use a breeze for a telephone wire. But if you ask him how he sings this blues so well, he says, I got a soul that I won't sell. I got a soul that I won't sell. I got a soul that I won't sell. And I don't read postcards from hell.
Okay, so I think maybe one of the last things is people wonder, and they ask about our business, but we've also had people ask us, are you making way less money because you're off of social media? Should you get back on social media so you can make more money?
Absolutely not. We are not making less money. The difference is we are not pretending that we have more money than we actually have. So if this is a safe space here on the podcast a sphere or whatever this is, I'll just tell you that, like, back in the day, it was really, really easy for us to just live in the moment, to squander whatever money was in the account. So taking a look at the bank balance and spend, that's a foolish way to go. We are not making less money now. We are simply more aware that our money needs to go somewhere. So we're living on a great budget right now. We're eating beans and rice, sometimes ramen noodles. You can say a prayer for our health and our sodium intake. But what that's allowed us to do is simply to take a good solid look at our financial situation and to go, oh man, it sucks to be in debt. Let's pay off debt. So we're doing that and we're excited about it. We're moving into this fall with a lot of purpose and a lot of excitement.
I think it's really embarrassing to admit, but there were times in the past when I felt so pressured by what other people would think of me on Instagram that I would deliberately look for a more expensive Airbnb to stay at when we traveled for work. I would deliberately buy more things from the local plant shop or from IKEA or from a neighboring collective store so that our house would look cooler in photographs. And instead of trying to work really hard to impress people that I don't even know for the most part, just to go broke at the end of the month, it's been really beautiful to make sacrifices financially and to work really hard to get out of debt. And we have paid off more debt in the past few months since we kind of came alive and woke up to what real life is about than we ever had in the years previous. So it's just been encouraging to feel aware.
It's hard to be aware initially. It's hard work to wake up to the fact that maybe there are some deficiencies in where you're at right now. But the great news with that is that you don't have to stay there. So nothing changes until you get a good dose of reality. So we're really thankful for that. If you ask him how he sings this blues so well, he says, I got a soul that I won't sell. 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 It's how I sing my blues so well. And I don't read postcards from hell.
Have an El Guapo to face someday. For some, shyness might be their El Guapo. For others, a lack of education might be their El Guapo. For us, El Guapo is a big dangerous guy who wants to kill us. But as sure as my name is Lucky Day, the people of Santa Poco can conquer their own personal El Guapo, who also happens to be the actual El Guapo.
The only other question that we've gotten a ton is, do you miss it? Because social media was totally our El Guapo. And to be honest, for the first few months, the answer was, absolutely. Can you please take a screenshot of Facebook or Instagram and text it to me? Can you please put social media in my veins? Because I'm gonna go crazy. But like all addictions, when you recover, the desire fades. And honestly, we're really, really happy to be sitting here on the other side of these 6 months to answer the question, no, we don't miss it. We don't miss it at all. We don't think about it anymore. We don't talk about it anymore. It's not even a fleeting, momentary desire. That SOB was really hard to get over, but my gosh, good riddance. Son of a bitch, give me a drink.
Hi, I'm Micah Kent Parsons. Thanks so much for listening to The Boredom Experiment, a podcast by We Are The Parsons, recorded in an old trailer in our backyard in Kansas City, Missouri. If you have any thoughts you want to share, we would love to hear from you. We have loved receiving and responding to snail mail as a part of this experiment, and we would love to be pen pals with you. Write us at P.O. Box 32875, Kansas City, Missouri, 64171. Our email address is hello@wearetheparsons.com. Our website is wearetheparsons.com. Click journal at the top of the page to see what we are up to, or podcast to hear all the episodes of The Boredom Experiment. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.